It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. Ian Safar back there as well. Just saw PK, Robbie, Rex Road, Keezer, the whole crew. What's up, Joe?
What's up, man?
Wait. How much? What college are we wearing today?
It's Green Hill High School.
Oh, that is Green Hill. Okay, yeah, nice.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm all about the free stuff.
As you are the king of getting free stuff.
Well, a lot of the coaches and teams like to reach out because they know I'll wear it, so I appreciate every bit of that. So this is the courtesy of the Green Hill Hawks. And Coach Josh Crouch out there has done a hell of a job of building that program at Green Hill High School. That's a really good high school, really good athletic programs. And a lot goes because they got a great AD and then they've got a great football coach. So love it, man. I love it a lot. By the way, Paul, we have to share the same headphones. When I put these are so warm and comfy. Thank you, Paul, for that. He might be all gruff on the outside, but my goodness, on the inside, he is a sweetheart. And it shows by how well these headphones are just nice today.
Yeah. No,
that's what she said. I mean,
something like that, for sure. We got a great show planned. John McClain going to join us at 9:30 like he usually does. 10:15, Ryan O'Reilly will join the program after what I described as a drunk game last night, just completely high scoring. Predators win 7-6 in overtime. They were down. They came back, took the lead, got tied back up. Then they were down again, tied it back up at the end of the game, and then ultimately win in overtime. So Steven Stamkos, his first 4-point game as a Predator, was fantastic. I mean, a lot of the guys were fantastic, but we'll talk to Ryan O'Reilly at 10:15.
That's two bad teams playing it out last night. Remember last year when I said the Jags and the Titans were playing in a game, and I said, looked like two homeless men fighting over McDonald's bags? And this guy called in and was like, that's so rude, and you shouldn't. I was like, dude, it is an absolute joke, and we laugh from 9 to 11. So get used to it. But good, they won the game last night. Now, I heard you and Robbie talking about the win. Does that make y'all mad because now the Preds are not in the lottery or in the lottery or whatever?
They were always going to be probably third. And again, I don't subscribe to the, you got to lose, you got to tank. And
so stupid.
You know, I mean, I hear Jared saying that. And
so
everything.
Stupid.
Now it doesn't matter. They're pretty much locked into the third spot. We'll see what the lottery says. It is a lottery, so they could still get the first overall pick. But now just go out and play the best you can and then end the season and then go from there.
Now headed to Utah.
They will head to Utah. And so I know the Predators have a watch party thing that we'll tell you about as well, which is cool. But Andrew Burnett's still not with the team, so hopefully everything's okay with him and his family. But Todd Richards was the acting coach again last night, but – it'll be cool to talk to Ryan at 10:15. At 10:30, Jim Jeffries, comedian, coming to town. We'll talk to him.
Now, I feel like you know who he is, but you don't know who he is. That's okay.
I mean, the comedians are kind of for you.
Right. Thank you, buddy.
I definitely know who he is.
He is massively popular. He's very crude, but in a funny kind of way. Not like Red Fox, but in a very funny way. But I think his show here is sold out. I mean, it'd be good. So thank you for doing that, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to help. happy to do that.
By the way, how are your Braves doing? Still terrible?
They won last night. They beat the Phillies.
Did they?
Yeah. So I actually watched some of it. It was nice.
Where do you watch it?
Home.
What channel do you watch it on?
So it's on FanDuel Sports Network.
Okay. But you don't have YouTube TV.
I do not.
Okay. So on YouTube TV, it comes on TBS. It's Braves Philly. I'm like,
last night it was TBS. Yeah.
I'm going to watch this game. Blacked out.
Really?
I was furious. Blacked out on YouTube in the Nashville market. Now, how do you expect me to fall in love with baseball again if you're blacking out games? I didn't even waste time to look into what was going on.
Yeah, listen, I've blacked out at games. You should not black out games. It just that's a rule.
Have you ever gotten so what's the word here?
Inebriated.
Yeah, okay. Drunk. That you have missed a concert or a game or something?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. Good. Yeah, because I know people who have gotten so drunk before a UT football game that they don't remember the game. I'm like,
nah,
what are you doing?
I'm usually pretty good about that.
Okay, so making sure.
No. But, yeah.
No concerts at all?
Uh-uh. Not that I can remember.
Not even partake in the wacky tobacco? No? I'm kidding. I'll answer that. Don't. No, she is listening. Yeah. I just never understood why that, you know. It happens at all sporting events, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I pay good money for
that. No, but last night, it's kind of like we all go through the when a major sporting event is done, it's like, okay, what do you do now? Last night was perfect because it was the first night that I've been home, I feel like, in a week because I've just been all over the place. And then, so I cooked some dinner. I watched the Braves. I watched the Preds. And then I caught up on wrestling because I hadn't watched that yet. So it was just a very relaxing kind of chase evening, which was nice.
All right, so let me ask you this question. And we got John McClain. We got a lot of sports to talk about. What are you expert at cooking?
Steak.
Are you good?
Yeah, I mean, my dad taught me at a young age. Do the grill marks and perfect temperature and all that stuff.
So you could get a job as a cook?
Yeah, I probably could.
Okay.
If this doesn't work out.
Good luck on this, too, as well. We know Dr. Crane's good at this, right? What's the one that you're good at cooking?
Yeah, I do enjoy cooking. It's a passion of mine, let's put it that way.
So you're picking up your meat tomorrow?
It's coming to me, so.
Your deli meat, right?
Yes, that's correct.
What are you getting?
Let's see, spicy capricola, guanciale, Italian sausage with fennel. That's very hard to find. And a few other deli meats, but yes.
You're just making this up now.
No, I'm serious.
Capricola?
Capricola, yep.
I mean, that's a diet drink that I've never heard of.
No, it's not. You know, some people call it gabagool, you know?
Excuse me?
Gabagool, that's like the whole, you know, in the TV show Sopranos and stuff, yeah. People say, give me the gabagool. It's capricola.
So that's not just like a slang for like,
it is a
give
slang.
Me the good stuff?
It's a slang for capricola, but it's the people call it gabagool.
You're the best, man. So are you going to cook tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about this.
What time do you want us to be there?
5:30, 6 okay. O'clock, around that time.
You want, it's my turn to bring the wine. So.
It is.
Yeah, okay. Red wine
you did good
preferable.
Last time, too.
Yeah. When Nani started telling jokes.
You don't know where those
that
go.
That lady.
She was amazing. But, Chase, you went down the extra aisle at Kroger because you got some really good wine.
Yeah,
I was proud of you.
I did, yeah. I moved up a notch from the barefoot. So
yeah, and it and you've bypassed the Champipple. So I'm proud of you for doing that.
I was proud y'all didn't bring the box wine this time. I was like, this
well,
is great.
That's right? More of a Friday thing, yes. You know, like
but it was
a Wednesday
great though.
Night, you know,
but it was great. If I invite you over, I am cooking, and I'm telling you what, and you could laugh. I don't care. I cook bagel bites perfectly in the air fryer, right time, everything. Bagel bites are the best. So. If we ever have a get-together, I'm bringing bagel bites. Everybody likes bagel bites. Everybody. Dr. Crane, I know you do. And
yes.
You're a little food. What's the word I'm looking for?
He's a foodie.
Yeah, you're a foodie, but with a little snarky attitude. Which
excuse
is
me?
Yeah,
no.
On food.
A food snob?
Because I've asked you about several Italian restaurants in Nashville, and you're like, no, no, no.
As a kid, I was always told, my grandparents said, listen, if you go to a friend's place or you go to a restaurant, be polite, order something that you know you will be easy to eat, and that's just pasta, maybe with red sauce, or pasta with cheese, just plain pasta. That's fine,
okay.
Because you can easily get that down, unless they cook it wrong.
Right.
Then that's the issue. If they don't cook it al dente, then you might need to just say, hey, thanks, I'm just not hungry.
What word did you use there?
Al dente. What? It's the way the pasta's cooked.
Okay.
So
I thought that was a guy that worked at the post office. With
I did too.
Yeah, al dente is like a mix. It's a perfect way to cook the pasta. If you cook it, I guess, underdone, it's a little hard.
Okay.
But if you cook it, like, overdone to the pasta. It's all mushy. So you got to find the happy medium.
Okay. Well, you call Kenny the mailman and say, hey, do you know an al dente?
I do know an al dente. He works at the Bellevue Post Office. When I stop by with my guidepost, I say, hey, is al dente here today? And they say, he's not here today. He's off. And so I have to go over and try to find Mr. Plaster over at Lipscomb. And I say, Mr. Plaster, I got your guidepost. And they say, Mr. Plaster's not here. And I'm like, do you know when he's going to return? And nobody knows. And so I tried calling Willie, but Willie was taking George's car for service that day. And I said, Willie, is Mr. Plaster over at Lipscomb? And Willie said, who is this? I said, this is your friend Kenny the mailman.
What was that at the end?
I ran out of breath.
I don't know about that, man.
Sorry about that.
I'm always curious of where the text line is going to go earlier in the show.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Felix says, I work at the airport. I've seen people so inebriated that they have missed their flights. Happens very often at B&A. I believe that.
Yeah. That would be. Why would you do that? I mean, we got there early. We had a flight, and then people were just pounding drinks at the bar. I'm like, what the hell, man?
B-Man says it was, talking about the Braves, it was blacked out on True TV and TBS at my house, but FanDuel had the Preds and Who Cares Grizzlies on. Still mad I couldn't watch my Braves, says Crappy Preds. Couldn't watch my Braves, so that was true. Al wants to know, did you say sausage with fentanyl?
No, fennel. Fennel. It's a C. No, not fentanyl. Goodness gracious.
I'm not eating that. No, sorry, man.
Nobody's eating that. No, but if you cook Italian sausage and just marinate it in red wine, that's the way I grew up with it. My grandfather cooked it that way. Incredible.
How long do you cook it for?
Just until the browning process happens.
God, you are fascinating.
I know. He could do a cooking show or a cooking podcast.
My one thing I want to do when this meat comes in is cook a pasta. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. It's like Amarantina.
Sure.
Something like, yeah. I'll get to you in the break about that.
That's okay. You don't have to. that's fine.
Oh, man. Great.
Do you do that? Do you do that to people when they're like, oh, hey, I'll do this? And like, no, you don't have to worry about it. It's totally fine.
You know what I've learned, though, as I get older and somebody says, hey, stop me if I told this before, I will stop you immediately because I'm not sitting through this again.
Yeah, it depends on the story. If I like the story, then I'll let you tell it again. If I'm like, this is just, I don't have 20 minutes.
Right.
Then I'm like, I stop.
It's because we're getting older. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're running out of room.
Yes, I am.
Clock is 615-737-1025. We're up and running here on this Wednesday. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And our show, of course, is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we will be Friday this week, because tomorrow we're going to be out in Rockvale.
Yeah, buddy, the MTSU golf tournament for their NIL collective. Coach Mason will join us. Nick Vadiato will be on with us tomorrow. This is kind of the new norm now for a lot of colleges now, hosting these events and raising money for their NIL collective. And the mid-majors got to bust their tail to get that done. So be a lot of fun tomorrow doing that.
I got a question on that. Just when you think about this, like it used to be – I'll use Peyton Manning, your favorite, as an example.
Okay.
But we all know where Peyton Manning's loyalties lie when it comes to college. He is orange through and through.
Yes.
There's no question. Like when he made that decision to go to Tennessee, he was a Vol for life, as they like to say. There's no Ole Miss, there's none of that. And even to this day, into his 50s, he will show up at an event and a game or whatever and gives to the university and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone. Like, you think about that. That's gone. Because these guys could go to three different schools before they're done. Now, they could pick the last one and say, like, you know, let's say I start off at MTSU and then I go to Alabama and then I end up at Tennessee. Now, I can say I'm Tennessee, you know, and whatever.
Right.
But it's like, it's not the same.
I think this came up with Jalen Hurts. All right, when Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl, Alabama's like, that's our quarterback. And Oklahoma people are like, no, it's not.
Right.
He's Oklahoma quarterback.
Like, do you claim both?
I think it's got to be where you ended, right? To me, Cam Ward is Miami. He's not incarnate Ward or
Right, but okay, Jalen Hurts is a really good example. He spent a majority of his collegiate career at Alabama.
Right.
And 1 year at Oklahoma. So Alabama clearly wants to still claim him.
But why did he leave Alabama?
Because Tua got the job.
Yeah. So he went where he's going to play now.
Right. But I mean, okay, so you're him. Are you – because we know that part of this NIL culture is going to be when a guy comes through a program and he goes on to the league, whether it's the NBA or the NFL or what have you, MLB, and start making millions and millions of dollars, you know, there's going to be kind of a hey, you want to help us out a little bit, you know? Who are you helping out?
All right, so if I'm Jalen Hurts, I'm helping – oh, my gosh.
See what I'm saying?
I'm thinking, well, Oklahoma, but hell, Alabama got me where I needed to go.
Because there's some guys that will transfer, you know, for that graduate year, probably because, you know, they sit down with the coaches, and the coach is like, hey, you know, I got this five-star that he's been here for a couple years, and I think he's kind of ready to take over. You know, we love you. I mean, if you want to stay, that's fine. But, right. You know, I don't want to lose him either. And, you know, I mean, there's probably a lot of that going on.
Well, there was a guy at Middle in 23. He's an offensive lineman. Then he went to Trent, and I forget his name. And he went to Georgia Tech and was like, you know, honorable All-American, All-ACC. Now he's at Georgia Tech doing this. But in his mind, he needed MTSU to get him to Georgia Tech because Georgia Tech didn't give a rat about him when he came out of high school.
Yeah.
So now you're torn. On that, I think you kind of both.
How do you look at Carson Beck?
Oh man,
let's say he's in the Heisman discussion this year. Hell, he wins it, and next year he's going to be top five pick. He's going to be drafted out of Miami as the Miami quarterback. But like, do you just forget that Georgia existed?
So, where do you look from his perspective? I mean, he's Georgia got him to Miami.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what I'm curious of where some of these loyalties lie. You know, I mean, there is no loyalty. I can answer my own question. There's no loyalty anymore.
Right.
But, you know, it's just like my point is we talk about all the time, like Derek DeMace is a prime example. Michigan State, through and through.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime Michigan State does anything, he's in here trash talking, you know, we're laughing, we're having a good time. I just feel like that kind of love for your school isn't there as much anymore because now it's just a where can I go and get the most money and all that.
So what about him, his NFL career, Ravens or Titans?
Well, I mean, that's a fair point.
Yeah,
I think, you know, I don't want to put words in Derek's mouth, so I'll let him kind of speak on that. But I think there was a time where he was hurt, you know, from like emotionally from how having to be cut and all that stuff here.
Yeah.
And so he went to Baltimore, continued his career, had a good career in Baltimore, and ended up retiring as a Raven. But now that time has passed, I mean, I think he claims both. I think he looks at both as integral parts of his life and career.
Yeah, that's his internal balance. We shouldn't determine that for him. What were you saying about Peyton, though? Peyton, that kind of all-in, four years?
Yeah, I just – that was the first example that came to mind. Like, I mean, there are several others. But, like, if you think about – you, if you're watching, even if it's the Lady Vols, like, any type of big game, all of a sudden they're like, oh, hey, Peyton's here. You know, usually got a son with him or something. I mean, it's just like that.
So that's gone now?
I think in some ways it will go away.
So Baker Mayfield started at what, Texas Tech? And then he went to Oklahoma.
Yeah. Now, and I guess for him, he probably claims Oklahoma.
Yeah. Joe Burrow, Ohio State to LSU. I mean, you would claim where you got
Will Levis, right? Penn State to Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's going forward now. That's what it's going to be. I mean, you're going to, but nobody's going to stay. I'm going to say this.
You're still going to have, like, let's say, you know, Dr. Crane grew up Notre Dame. Is that fair? Okay.
Go ahead.
Grew up Notre Dame. Family, always loved Notre Dame. You know, good Catholic family. Everything's Notre Dame. Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame. He goes to Notre Dame because that's written in the stars. That's what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's still going to happen some, but I think some of that is just really going away because of this new world in which we live.
Well, I think I would say now, like Arch Manning, Why would Arch Manning go pro? We talk about that. Remember, Arch Manning's making more. Didn't we have this more than 14 starting quarterbacks?
Yeah.
He's barely played at Texas. So now I think we'll see more elite guys like that staying in college the entire time. Carson Beck's getting $3
million. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point because why go? You're going to make more money, you know, right now.
Yeah.
Now, if you end up being a top 10 pick or a first round pick or whatever, like, you'll do okay. But, you know, why not capitalize on what you can do and being the big fish in a big pond, but being a big fish instead of going to the NFL where you become who knows?
Let me ask you this. What player would you have liked to have seen? This is all collegiate sports. Stayed 4 years. One guy comes immediately to mind to me. It's going back a ways. For me, who would you like to have seen stay all 4 years in college?
So whether they transferred into your school
whatever.
Or out of your school
all four
or whatever.
Years, yeah. I'll give you mine real quick.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson left after his sophomore year at Michigan State. Isaiah Thomas left after his sophomore year at Indiana. Now, Jordan left after his junior year, and I get it. There's nothing more he could have probably done. But the guys who, like a Magic Johnson, what more could he have accomplished? I mean, yeah, although he went to the Lakers, and next year they won the NBA title. I understand that. But guys that you could stick around, like, man, I love to see them.
Well, I mean, it's hard to kind of think about this because, again, we're talking about how much it's changed. But I'll use Tennessee as an example. If Hendon Hooker or Joe Milton had 4 years in the same program with Heupel, would things have looked different for them?
Good point.
After college,
especially Hooker.
I'd say especially Milton.
I think Milton was too erratic, but I think Hooker was of a different mindset.
Yeah, like if he doesn't start at Virginia Tech, if he starts at Tennessee and Heupel's his coach, because he came in with Heupel, right?
22.
I think they got there at the same time.
Well, he was a quarterback in 21. It was Hooker, right?
Yes.
It was Milton started and Hooker came in.
Yeah. That's what it was. So if they had 4 years together.
Yeah.
Like, would Hendon Hooker – I mean, would it have affected anything? I mean, look, I think Hendon Hooker could be a starter in the league right now had he not torn his knee.
I don't know because the Lions brought in Teddy Bridgewater.
I know.
That's kind of weird. I get it. Heath Shuler left after his junior year in 93. There was nothing else. And because he was going, that let Peyton Manning go to Tennessee. If Heath Shuler would have come back in 94 for his senior year, I'm not sure Peyton Manning goes to Knoxville. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not sure because he knew there was an open job there. There was Jerry Colquitt was there. Todd Helton and Brandon Stewart would be the quarterbacks. And then you had Peyton Manning. But there was no clear-cut favorite, but Heath Shuler would have been fun to watch another year. You go back and play revisionist history with these guys. Yeah. But the question is, they'll have to figure it out on their own. Where, you know, like if Derek Mason goes in the Hall of Fame, where does he go in as?
Well, and that's a great question. I mean,
I don't want to make that decision.
I was thinking about that the other day, like Freddie Freeman. When Freddie Freeman goes in the Hall of Fame, is there going to be an A on his cap or an LA on his cap? There should be an A, in my opinion, or nothing. But
yeah, I agree with you on
you
that.
You know, the NFL doesn't specify. Like, you look at the bust, it just has a random, you know, regular jersey with no teams or anything. But, you know, I think Derek would go in as both. And the other two teams that we don't talk about that he played for.
Right.
But I think he would go in. I mean, you know, because like, the thing is, DeAndre Hopkins, if he, you know, you say no, but if he gets to the Hall of Fame one day, will be credited to the Titans as a Hall of Famer.
He will not get in the Hall of Fame in our lifetime.
Okay. That's fine. I don't want to get into this again. 2438 says Carson Beck graduated from the University of Georgia, declared for the draft, changed his mind to go to Miami to be with his girlfriend. That's a little different scenario considering he told Georgia he was leaving and graduated from there. Jalen Hurts graduated from Alabama as well, so I guess you could base it on where they got their degree. And that's true. Hurts was a graduate transfer.
Yeah. Because that's before it all kicked in. You had the fifth year, if you already graduated, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's fair. But an interesting discussion, nonetheless.
It is. Good job, buddy.
Must step away from it and go to our man, John McClain. He's going to join us coming up next. The draft is just, thank God, 2 weeks away. We will talk to him. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Text in the keyword watermelon. I'm not going to spell it. Watermelon. Now to 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of all-inclusive Eurostone Club tickets to see Lainey Wilson at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, October 2nd. Distilled by Green River Whiskey. Sit back, relax, and bourbon. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol by volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. So text keyword watermelon. Now, let's say hello to John McClain, who joins us on the program. John, how you doing?
Well, I tell you, people here are still gloom and doom after the Cougars lost that game to Florida and did something that was so out of character, collapsing down the stretch, would they not done. So it's not like they were beat on a last-second shot, but the last 3 minutes are hard for people to get over because they're a very popular team here. You know, they don't have as many alums as Texas and Texas A&M do, but people, even like me, I went to Baylor, but I pulled for the Cougars, so it is very disheartening.
Have you had any dealings with Kelvin Sampson at all?
No, I haven't, but I know a lot of people that have. People like him, respect him, even though he's hard on his players. One of the things that everybody likes is they're very disciplined. They don't get arrested. When they make public appearances, they're yes, sir, no, sir. They treat everybody great, whether you're older or kids, and that's because a lot of it's the way they're brought up, but also it's the culture, Kelvin Sampson is established over there.
You use that word culture, and that's where I was going to start things off because, you know, I think one thing, and Jeffrey Simmons was on a podcast recently and kind of talked about that they're kind of still establishing culture under Brian Callahan and figuring out what it is. And he made the comment, you know, you knew what it was with Vrabel. And I think all of us knew what it was with Mike Vrabel. When he walked in, like, the first press conference, you knew what he was going to expect. You knew where he came from and all of that. You know, in your years covering teams, was it pretty evident when the coach would speak of, hey, here are the expectations, here's the culture I'm setting, and was there none of this? Well, we're kind of figuring it out as we go.
Well, first of all, culture's attitude. And if you're a pro, you should know what it takes to win, whether you have a new head coach or not. You know what it takes, work ethic, how much time you spend at the facility in the off season, even though you're not required, how hard you work on your body, your diet, everything it takes to be a professional. And if you're still trying to learn what that means, no matter who the coach is, there's something wrong because common sense tells you what you need to do. Now, maybe Brian Callahan's philosophy on offense or his philosophy of defense, that might be something they're still trying to figure out. And if Cam Ward works out the way they hope, then that will all come into place a lot quicker because they'll know that they have the quarterback they want, hopefully, for years. Now, they thought that when they drafted Marcus Mariota. It's interesting. He and Jameis Winston are still in the league. And was their failure with the teams that drafted them, the Titans and the Bucks, was that because of the team or was that because of them? A lot of failure by quarterbacks is because of the team. They change coaches. They change systems. They don't have a system that is what's best for that quarterback. They don't have the talent. They don't protect them. So much of it falls back on the team, and yet it's the quarterback who gets all the blame.
Amen to that. John McClain with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. John, I would like to be Trey Lance's agent because he's doing a good job of keeping this young man in the league. He just signed with the Chargers, a deal that could be up to $6.2 million. And I was looking at Trey Lance, John. He played 19 games in college. Where did this go wrong? Why were the Niners, what did they see in him? Obviously, because it's panned out, he's not that good, but he's still in the league. How is this happening? Well, I mean, this just blows my mind with him.
Joe, in that pandemic year, they played one game his last year, so all the scouts could come in there and see him. And He was highly rated. He had great size, great arm, pretty mobile, and they all talked about how impressive he was. So everybody liked him. But the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan liked him the most to trade up multiple number one picks to get him. He goes down as one of the all-time busts in draft history. Ryan Leaf, to me, will always be the biggest. But you're right. He hasn't even proved himself as a backup quarterback. You know, they went with Cooper Rush last year, not Trey Lance. And I thought Cooper Rush for a backup quarterback is pretty good, and the Cowboys shouldn't have kept him. It should have kept him, and they didn't. And then they didn't want Lance, whom they'd given up a fourth-round pick for. So he may just bounce around, but at some point, he's going to have to play a few games like Cooper Rush did last season and has done twice in the last four seasons. And he's going to have to show people, this is why I keep getting a couple million a year with a chance to make even more. Because so far he hasn't done it. I watched him as a rookie play against Davis Mills, a rookie with the Texans, and they played in Santa Clara. And he was okay, nothing special, but the 49ers won because the Texans were one of the two worst teams in the league. But I remember watching him and not thinking, aha, this is why Shanahan traded up to get this kid. He just didn't show me anything in that one game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, our good friend Tim Hasselbeck told us one time, John, keep playing till all 32 teams tell you, yeah, we're good, take care of yourself. And, look, good for Trey Lance. I mean, good for him on this.
Where else is he going to go and make a few million a year? I think that's a great approach that Tim Hasselbeck said, till they all tell you no. That's why I fully believe when Deshaun Watson is released after this season – where the cap, it'll be like $45 million. And I think he'll be back because teams are so desperate. And it's obvious that New Orleans, Atlanta, Miami, Cleveland, none of them held all those civil suits against him, even though there were over 20, maybe 30. I can't remember now. They don't care what you do if they think you can play. So he'll get another chance.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday, continuing our discussion with John McClain, of course, down in Houston. Where do you think things are trending, kind of looking at the AFC South? Where do you think things are trending draft-wise for the Texans?
I think the Texans, they have the 25th overall pick, even though they've added four veteran linemen, two guards, and two tackles in free agency in a trade. None of those guys are coming off very good years. If they were, they wouldn't have been available. So I still think they need an offensive tackle. You can make receivers. Texans' top receivers, Nico Collins, third-round pick, Tank Dell, third-round pick, Stephon Diggs was a fifth-round pick. So you don't have to use a first-round pick to get a good receiver. But, boy, if you got a shot at getting a guy, whether you think he's a tackle that has to play guard for a year like Laremy Tunsil did in Miami, you should get him because their most valuable asset is C.J. Stroud, and they did a terrible job protecting him last season. And I'm glad they did not put a Band-Aid on it and make one or two changes. You know, they've made humongous changes in their offensive line, and they should have.
I was talking to somebody about this the other day. You know, you mentioned the offensive line and how bad they were. Was Bobby Slowick the fall guy maybe for that? And was that unfair? Because, I mean, we're a year removed talking about him being a head coach.
Absolutely. Five teams interviewed him. He did a great job. And then Bobby made a mistake that a lot of young offensive coordinators make. You'd think he would realize that defensive coordinators – would have the entire offseason to watch every snap that C.J. Stroud and that offense took. And then they adjust accordingly. Bobby Slowick did not adjust accordingly. He kept doing the same things. And then they were 5-1 last year. They go to Green Bay, and Mark, I think it's Mark Affleck, the new coordinator, was head coach at Boston College. decided to run some stunts on the inside, and they looked clueless. Now, their offensive line coach, Chris Strasser, did a really good job the previous year with a lot of injuries. Then he had everybody healthy last year, and he did a terrible job because those guys acted like they'd never seen a stunt. And it wasn't outside guys, it was inside guys. And everybody kept doing it, and until you could stop it, why would they not? And so he and the coach, Chris Strasser, paid with their jobs. And I thought it was interesting because the backup offensive line coach was promoted by D'Amico Ryans and a new coordinator, Nick Cayley, who came from the Rams, instead of firing him and starting over.
John, a lot of chatter about Travis Hunter. What do you make of him really in his pro day as going at receiver instead of DB? Because word has it the Browns would like him at number two as a wide receiver. There's just no way, John, he could do both ways in the NFL. Maybe he can. It's not really ever been done full-time. But where do you see him fitting in at if he does go to the Browns as a receiver or a DB?
Well, it hasn't been done in a long time. You know, used to guys up through the 50s and some in the early 60s would play both ways, but generally they're in the Hall of Fame. And I think that whoever gets him, it's not that he can't play both positions and excel. But think about how many guys get injured. And that's just playing one way. And you're exposing him to twice the risk of injury. And even though he's sick, almost 6'1", he weighs 185 pounds. And I hope he does it. What I would do is pick him on, like if you wanted to play wide receiver, put him at receiver and then use him in sub packages in passing situations. Maybe, you know, on third and long. But he is receivers make more money, so if I'm him and I had to pick, I would take wide receiver. But, man, if you've got a corner who can shut down the other top receiver, that is a commodity that is rare. Getting a great receiver, just look at the stats, that's not rare.
Oh, no, exactly. That's why somewhere in my crazy mind, I think Hunter is the best player in the draft, that somebody is going to make an offer to the Titans and say, hey, we want Travis Hunter. Here's what we're going to give you. I believe, John, he's that good. He's the best player in the draft. And I think it would be great if the Titans listen to that because this is a guy that comes around not every year. To me, he is the generational talent in this draft in 2025.
Yeah, well, that's true, Joe, but you better get a quarterback. If you don't, and you got Will Levis again, you're going to have that desperate need next year. It might be just a few spots off, and that's why they're going to take Cam Ward. And the only team that would be able to do that, and it, well, really there's no guarantee because if somebody else traded up, then Cleveland's going to take Cam Ward. So I think that Cleveland will take Travis Hunter, and the Giants have to decide Shedeur Sanders, or do they want to go with Abdul Carter? If you go back and look at drafts, there are a lot of drafts that pass rushers get picked high, and they never panned out. For different reasons, and the highest a corner's ever been picked is third, and I think Hunter's going second, but he's not a true corner. I thought it was funny the way he wants Roger Goodell to announce him at both positions, and I hope Goodell does it.
We're talking to John McClain, of course, down in Houston. John, we talk about this with players, the jump from year one to year two, but I mean, I think coaches deserve that conversation as well. And we know that it didn't go well for the Titans and Brian Callahan in year one. In your years of covering coaches and talking to coaches, what are some things that stand out that seem to click better from year one to year two that Brian Callahan should certainly focus on?
Usually when a head coach gets his job for the first time, he hires too many of his friends. And that's because all those buddies who came around together and have worked together tell the other one, if I get a head coaching job first, you're coming with me as this. And I think it was Bill O'Brien who told me in 2015, head coaches who hire their friends have to be able to fire them. If you don't, you're doomed. That's what D'Amico Ryans did here with Bobby Slowick, and they were best friends. And you talk about a tough decision, but it's one he thought he had to make. So Callahan has difficult decisions that start with the staff, also with the work of the GM. You know, he doesn't have the same GM he had. So you have a new GM who didn't hire him. Every GM that comes in, those guys want to be GMs for years, and they have their own list of head coaching candidates they want. So Callahan's going to have to show marked improvement this year because you have a GM that has not worked with him, and you have a guy, a decision maker, a breaker, who's worked with him but not as the boss with final say on everything. So this is a lot of pressure on Callahan. I'm not saying he's got to make the playoffs or have a winning record, but at least double the victory total.
Well, John, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, and we're almost there, just a couple of weeks away from the draft. We'll talk next week.
Guy, I can't wait. One of these days, remind me, and I'll tell you what my first draft was like way back like 2 centuries ago.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. We will, we'll definitely ask him about that. I love the draft stories.
Oh, yeah. Hey, coming up in our next segment, there's a new mock draft out, and it blows my mind because I have yet seen this when it comes to the Titans, and I just want to get your thoughts about this.
Okay.
Because it's crazy, man. This draft thing will drive us insane. 15 more days.
I just did a draft simulator, too, which is just amazing.
Did you go back in time?
No. Okay. But, I mean, the Titans draft, I just did one, and I'm like, it's fake, and I'm disappointed. Yeah, basically. That's it. We'll do that coming up in hour number two here on the program. The Nashville Sounds will be in action tonight on 94.9 The Fan as they take on Memphis. Pregame at 6:20. The first pitch at 6:35. Cover. Where the?
Oh, man, what'd you say? Sound for the Memphis and Owls. Oh, man, I agree with the First Horizon ballpark. Man, Owls is sunny and red over the Owls. Man, I says the Redbirds. Man, I said, yeah, I get a Cadillac.
Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app. Hit the GameNashville.com. Sounds of Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.